Hello and welcome to Football Podcast. My name is Chris. As always, I'm joined by Harry. I apologise to Harry and to the listeners because I've left this episode really late. As we are recording this, it's about 2.5 hours before the Aston Villa Leeds game on Friday. So we are cutting it fine here. But there's still a lot to talk about. And I mean, we might as well just get, straight into a very exciting Merseyside derby. I mean, take us through your thoughts on this game, Harry.
Massive.
Like you said, I'm about the Van Dijk incident, which is what I'm assuming you're referring at. The should have been a red card. Yeah, I mean, it's just like, I don't get it. So you're saying, right, because Van Dijk was offside, it wasn't a foul. Right, so can I just go up and twat Van Dijk in the face, and it wouldn't be given as a foul? If you can be sent off after the final whistle, you can be sent off if you're offside, if the person you foul is offside. I don't care, honestly. That is a load of bollocks. Yeah, and I mean, that would have drastically changed the game. I don't think we would have seen Everton get anything if they went down about, 10 minutes in, if they lost John Pickford, because whilst I am quick to give John Pickford a lot of shit, he did have a very good game. He made a lot of crucial saves to keep Everton in it. You could argue that, he could have done better for, some of the goals, particularly the goal that was ruled out. But he did make a lot of crucial saves for Everton, did Pickford. And had he not been on the pitch, it could have been a very different result. Even looking back at it, scrutinising with the lines, I still can't see how that's offside. I mean, it's just a lot of bollocks. I mean, at this point, I've been a big defender of VAR on the show. But at this point, I just think, just scrap it. You tried it, it hasn't worked, just give up. It clearly is not suited for English football. So can we just get rid of it, please?
The lines, the camera is good, but...
Well, it's not like they're in the position of the linesman. You get a crooked angle. It's not great. You were inferring, both Van Dijk and Thiago are now out injured. That's going to be two crucial injuries for Liverpool. Thiago had an excellent game for Liverpool, with a lovely no-look pass that ended up going to Mane, that was ended up ruling offside. He's the main creative driving force in that Liverpool midfield. Someone like Wijnaldum, if you put James Milner, that Minamino, they're not on his level. And someone like a Naby Keita and Oxlade-Chamberlain, they're too inconsistent. They're in and out of the team. Both of them struggle with injuries as well. So they don't really have a like-for-like replacement. And of course, Van Dijk is crucial for Liverpool out for the rest of the season, it looks like. And with Liverpool selling Dejan Lovren, that leaves them without looking to the youth team, it leaves them with Matip, Gomez and potentially Fabinho in those centre-half roles. Then that doesn't exactly scream a title-winning back line.
But we have seen the back.
Mm.
But I think, with departure, the games hasn't happened earlier.
Well, they were linked with quite a few centre-halves, Liverpool. I remember they were linked with Ongwene from Salzburg. I remember they were linked with Ben White from Brighton. So they were linked with a couple of centre-halves, but obviously they didn't end up making that signing. It definitely looks like the position that they are the lightest on at the moment, with the incomings of Jota and Thiago taking care of those two roles. They are lacking a fourth-choice centre-half, and unless you fully commit to Fabinho being in that role, they're going to continue to lack until January at the very least. Because you'd think that they would definitely go out and splash the cash on a centre-half in January.
Yeah. Defense. Well, at least looking at the side, Channing, Tarr, because those players, Tarr, might get.
Yeah, I mean, with Shimiskas, is that how you say his name? Yeah, with Shimiskas coming in from Olympiacos, that will give Robertson some competition, and he's probably been Liverpool's best player this season, so I've really been impressed by him. But yeah, with Trent, you've got Neco Williams, you've got Joel Gomez can fill in at right back, but there isn't exactly the same level of competition. And of course, you know, even if Van Dijk is fully fit, there's only three fit centre halves. So yeah, I think defensively, depth is somewhere that, you know, Liverpool could do with improving on.
But I think there is depth. Whereas up top, you have Harvey Elliott.
Elliott's gone out on loan. Bastards.
Okay. Minamino. Oxley.
Shaqiri. Origi.
Yeah. Midfield. Milner. Naby. Oh, no. Naby's.
Yeah. And I think, particularly with Alisson being out for a significant period of time as well. I'm not sure exactly how long it is. But, you know, with Van Dijk and Alisson both out injured, you know, I thought before this game that Liverpool would have just stormed on with this title, to be honest with you. Man City have looked toothless at times during these opening couple of games. And, you know, the likes of Chelsea, Arsenal, Spurs haven't looked like they will to challenge Liverpool. But with the injury to, you know, one of the players of the year last year, that's just thrown this league wide open. I'm not too sure, to be honest with you. Wilson went on loan to Cardiff. Obviously because a permanent transfer to Burnley wasn't, you know, on the cards, even though they wanted to sell him, but never mind.
Marco, I thought they sold that is banned out.
Yeah, especially for someone who wasn't going to be a starter.
Lallana, bunch of Ben Woodburn.
He's gone a bit downhill though, hasn't he? Or at least he's been surpassed by people like Curtis Jones. Is at Oxford now, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even Pickford, because of his red cards, opened how well Robin.
Yeah. I haven't seen too much of Olsen, to be honest with you. I assume that, you know, you'll have seen more of him than I did. Is he, you know, is he any good?
So, he was there.
Vaguely. But yeah, you know, it would have been a chance to see him, you know, try and make his mark and challenge John Pickford, because you'd think that Pickford isn't going to be dropped anytime soon.
They'll be cut.
I mean, it's, you know, it is interesting because Pickford isn't, you know, 100%. However, you know, he did have a very good game against Liverpool, or at least I thought anyway. Yeah, but, you know, how much of that was down to solely Pickford?
I mean, Alisson, Adrian upped.
Really? Would you say that?
Last season.
Well, last season, I'd say he started off that way when Alisson, at the start of the season, was unavailable. But, you know, I think the reason why West Ham let him go on a free was revealed. I think he's shown his true colours, really. Yeah, he's not great. I mean, especially that Michael Keane header. I think he definitely should be doing a lot better there. Calvert-Lewin as well, scoring in his fifth consecutive game. You know, he's seeming to get some chances in the England team as well. He's just absolutely on fire at the moment, Calvert-Lewin. Okay. Probably the best header in the Premier League at the moment is Calvert-Lewin. Yeah. It was either 11 or 12, I can't remember. But beat Van Nistelrooy, but that record was bollocks anyway, because it was over two seasons, so like that should not count. But yeah, he's definitely put himself in Gareth Southgate's plans, at least, and he's definitely in Carlo Ancelotti's plans going forward. I feel like Calvert-Lewin is an excellent forward. And, you know, if he can keep firing, then Everton could potentially, you know, make a Champions League challenge. I mean, I feel like by the end of the year, we'll definitely know whether Everton will be getting top four or not. Because, you know, starting in, you know, the late November time, Everton do have a tough run. They've got Leeds, Burnley, and then it really starts with Chelsea, Leicester, Arsenal, Man United in the Cup, Sheffield United, Man City, West Ham, Wolves, Aston Villa and Leicester, all back-to-back. So, you know, you can't ask for a much harder running than that. So I feel like that will definitely show the character of Carlo Ancelotti's side at the very least.
Leicester.
You know, this Everton team could easily challenge for the top four. But we'll have to wait and see whether they'll be able to or not. And I feel like that running will definitely give us a good insight whether they will or not. They've been very unlucky there with the draw. But they are, at the moment, looking very good, Everton. I'm sure you'll have a lot to say about it. And I'm sure I'll know exactly what you're going to say about it. Chelsea 3, Southampton 3.
Van Werner absolutely ripped it. Second goal, Danny H. Adams, perhaps. Shows that we're free kick. Ball's best flex. Just shows.
I mean, you know, I can't really add anything that hasn't already been said about this game, to be honest with you. Going forward, I think Timo Werner looked particularly dangerous. I think Christian Pulisic was a really good. He played really well. He's definitely been missed by this Chelsea team, and to have him back is a huge boost. Ben Chilwell as well, I thought, played decent on that left-hand side. He's definitely far superior to Marcus Alonso and Emerson. But yeah, it just feels like that defence has no mobility. You know, I feel like with Adams and Ings and Redmond and Walcott on the wing, they really got in behind and exploited that Chelsea back line. And I mean, especially for that second goal, I think that's embarrassing, to be honest with you. If I went down to Silsden, who were in the ninth tier of English football, if I went down to Silsden and watched that, you know, I wouldn't be happy with them making that pass slash humiliating attempt at a save, let's be honest.
Like, crying out.
Yeah, it was just, you know, it was awful. Like, and yeah, that, you know, does Thiago Silva solve that? Because, you know, no matter what Thiago Silva does, you know, he's what, 33, 34 now, Thiago Silva? So he's not going to be, you know, quick on the back foot. It just feels like you've got very clunky centre halves what can easily get exploited with balls, quick balls in behind. 36, yeah, he's older than I thought. So yeah, he's not going to be, you know, a sweeper type. You know, so what's that? Yeah, definitely. I think that Tomori and Silva is probably your best centre-back pairing. And with Mendy in net, you know, your defence could improve. But this current defence you've played... What's that? Yeah. Definitely. Maybe even getting Aspilicueta at centre-back. Could be a potential option. Maybe moving to a three at the back to potentially hide the pitfalls of that defence. You know, there's a couple of options that Lampard could do. But he definitely deployed the worst option against Southampton, I'd say.
Yeah. I always thought possibly start from Harry. Well, I'm seeing that Harry Kane scoring now.
Yeah. And with, you know, Calvert-Lewin as well, Tammy Abraham, when he's on form, is good. England do have a plethora of striking options, like you say, and Danny Ings, you know, is definitely one of them who is, you know, just, it was mental last season, and you know, he's just a class forward. Yeah, I mean, Southampton have started a little bit slower than I predicted to them to. But it's not been a bad start for them. Two wins, a draw, and two losses. The wins came against teams who you'd expect, who they'd expect to win against. And, you know, losing against Tottenham, you know, they probably expected that. And getting a draw at Stamford Bridge is great for them. So yeah, Southampton look relatively comfortable. Yeah, I mean, I'm not a fan of Vestergaard personally. I know he did get the equaliser, but defensively, I believe that he leaves a lot to be desired, I'll say. You know about McCarthy there?
I believe in a very Angus Scarnard.
I don't know. I think McCarthy's definitely earned a Premier League number one position, but at the very least, with last season's performances, I thought he played really well the second half of the season for Southampton, that saw them, you know, rise up the table. So yeah, I think Hasenhüttl is probably hesitant to drop McCarthy based off of his brilliant performances last season. I mean, you know, I seem to remember, was it Arsenal where he made 9 saves during a game? Yeah, so he definitely played well last season. So I can understand why Hasenhüttl will try to persist with him, because he is definitely a decent goalkeeper. Man City and Arsenal sort of seem to cancel each other out, really. It just wasn't the best spectacle, to be honest with you. It just felt like Man City, you know, it was just ever since the Sterling goal, about 20 minutes in, they just managed to keep Arsenal either pinned in their own half or give them no options. You know, it was a very boring, assertive win for Man City. They did what they needed to do. I think with the arrival of Gabriel, along with the switch to the three at the back system, I think, you know, Arteta has really improved Arsenal defensively. And he even made David Luiz look like a bit of a decent player. Arsenal just couldn't break through this Man City defence, which, you know, has looked shaky, especially last season. But I think Ruben Diaz, especially, had a very good game.
Why did Lacazette a goal?
I mean, I'm not sure about Partey's match sharpness. I haven't been following Atletico Madrid particularly much this season. So I'm not sure, you know, whether he was playing the match, only wanted to give him 10 minutes to try and get used to the system. I don't know. But I do feel like he will have more of a role going forward in this Arsenal team. I think I personally like the midfield pairing of Xhaka and Ceballos. I feel like it's really well balanced, but Partey is a better player than Xhaka. And so, you know, a midfield pairing of Partey and Ceballos could work really well for Arsenal. Partey's a very hard-working midfielder. We've seen him, you know, play a more box-to-box role for Atleti, you know, than the defensive role that he started off as. I feel like he could definitely work well in this new Arsenal system under Arteta. I feel like once he does establish himself into that Arsenal team, I feel like he'll be a regular there. I feel like he'll definitely impress, I'll say, in an Arsenal shirt.
Despite the very attacking...
I think it was a very attacking defensive performance from Man City, if that makes sense. They were happy to, give Arsenal possession, but they kept them pinned in their own half. And I think that was very impressive from Man City.
1-0.
We'll go to Newcastle and Man United. Newcastle always seem to, you know, play well against Man United. And up until the 86th minute where the floodgates opened, I think they played really well as well.
Well, hasn't...
I swear we beat them last season, didn't they? It might have been Man City, but I still remember Matty Longstaff scoring a winner.
Actually, the last time that Matty Longstaff... No, was it?
It might have been Sean. It was one of them. I seem to remember it being Matty. Yeah, but Man United definitely looking a lot better than their capitulation at Old Trafford. Definitely recovered well. It could have been a lot more had it not been for Carl Dowler playing exceptionally well again for Newcastle.
Bruno.
It did seem like once Newcastle went up 1-0, they seemed content to sit in their own half, let Man United play the game and be solid defensively. And, you know, they were relying a lot on Carl Darwin. I mean, Man United did end up having 14 shots on target. And yet it just felt like the defensive tactics of Newcastle didn't work. They tried to let the pressure come on. Obviously, they had, you know, the likes of St. Maximin Wilson to hit Man United on the break with, but they never got the chance to. And I will point out someone who I thought had an excellent game as well, someone who you wouldn't have necessarily expected to be at the start of the game. I thought Juan Mata was brilliant for Man United, personally.
Going back to the Carl Darlow, him.
And it's not the first time this season that Darlow's made double-figure saves. You know, I feel like even if Dubravka, who I'm a big fan of, even if Dubravka was back in that Newcastle team, if he was fit, Darlow would be keeping him out. I think Darlow's performed excellently. I think he's probably been the keeper of the season so far. I feel like with Lewis and Kraft, you have very offensive-minded fullbacks, and Lascelles and Fernandes aren't exactly the most mobile centre-halves. So I feel like they do get caught out a lot by pacey teams. And obviously, when you've got, you know, like Dan James, Marcus Rashford, you do have a lot of pace in that Man United team, and I feel like they definitely exploited that. Yeah, he's had a tough time this season, not only for Man United, but also for England, as Maguire. So him getting on the score sheet, putting in a decent performance, you know, it looks like he could be potentially back on track. He wasn't amazing last season, but, you know, even by last season standards, Maguire has definitely been off this season. And it's clearly got to be something to do with what happened in Greece. You know, neither of us know what happened. It does, in my opinion, it seems like there was something dodgy definitely going on from the police. But, you know, either way, he's definitely been left shaken by that, and he's not the player that he was. Well, it's going to a retrial, I think. I think they found him guilty, but it's going to be appealed. But I do think there's somewhat dodgy. I mean, you know, I don't think there's any way that Maguire went up to the police and said, "Do you know who I am? I'm the captain of Man United." Like, well, the 99% of footballers aren't that arrogant. No, not really. I mean, we'll move on to, you know, Sheffield United and Fulham, two teams who were looking to get their first points on the board. Sheffield United, who have been struggling a lot more than a lot of people predicted this season, Fulham were probably the better team, I'd say, in this game. It took an 85th minute penalty for Sheffield United to get the equaliser. And yeah, it's, you know, they didn't look great, Sheffield United.
Also, they talking about massive.
Yeah, I think they're definitely missing Jack O'Connell at the heart of that defence, Sheffield United. He's out for ages, I think. Is he out for the season, O'Connell? I know he's out for a few months, at the very least. I think he might be out for the season, actually. Which, if he is, that is a huge blow. It wasn't the best day in front of goal for Mitrovic. It wasn't even that Ramsdale had a particularly, a great game. I mean, he had a decent game, made 5 saves. But Mitrovic definitely should have done better during this game. I mean, 40% shot accuracy is, you know, it's not great for a forward that you rely on, you know. Like, he's not great.
When it comes to Areola.
No, I mean, he's had a couple of clubs, you know, PSG, Real Madrid, you know, big clubs. I thought it seemed like a typical Fulham signing, to be honest with you. You know, a big name who, you know, probably won't work out. Someone like a Seri, who they ended up signing 2 seasons ago, who, you know, funnily enough, isn't even in the Premier League squad for Fulham. He had a decent little game. I just think overall, defensively and going forward, I think Fulham looks the better team. And I think if Mitrovic had been on better form, I think Fulham, you know, easily win this game. Not really, if you don't want to add anything. No, I mean, we'll move on to the derby that isn't really a derby, but it is a derby. But if it is, it shouldn't be a derby. Crystal Palace won and Brighton won. Well, for some reason, Brighton and Palace fans have decided that because they were in the same league for basically all of their history. There's now a rivalry between the two. I don't get that. They're about 100 miles away from each other.
It's literally that they're only...
That's it. It's just... Oh, I don't get it. It's not a rivalry. It's not a derby. You know, it's about as much of a derby as Norwich versus Ipswich. Yeah.
Dominate.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen that a lot this season from Brighton. Playing really well, but not getting the results. I mean, the first game of the season against Chelsea, I think they were arguably the better side. The game against Man United is another one where they were arguably the better side. Well, they were the better side against Man United. I don't think there can be much debate. And they ended up getting no points. And the Everton game as well. I think Everton were probably the better side, but Brighton made a good showing for themselves and probably deserved to get something from that game. So, yeah, I think that Brighton have definitely been unfortunate this season. But, you know, you've got to consider how much longer can you keep going on a bad streak of luck before you decide to change things up? Because it's all right playing well, but if you can't put the ball in the back of the net, then, you know, something's got to change.
Crystal Palace short of Brighton. Brighton are very...
Yeah, I mean, they just weren't clinical enough. And it took until, you know, the 90th minute, Alexis McAllister, you know, the most Scottish-sounding Argentine I think you'll ever find. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he's had some visa issues for Brighton. I believe he was signed a couple of years ago, I think. And he's had some visa issues, so he's had to be loaned out back to Argentina. But he's ended up getting his work permit this season. You know, I don't know too much about him, but, you know, obviously, if he comes on in the 78th minute and gets a goal, he's got to be doing somewhat decently. All right.
His brother is Francis.
Yeah.
After the goal.
Yeah, the horrible challenge, that. Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, not much else to say, really. Brighton dominated, but should have converted the chances better.
How dominant?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Got another...
Yeah, a lot more lively, this one. Well, I'll let you start.
Apps, Spurs. I thought after every attack.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Harry Kane up front is, you know, a world-class forward. You know, one of, if not the best forward in the world at the moment. I mean, 5 goals and 7 assists in 5 games, you know. He's just been having absolute blinders this season, Harry Kane. But, yeah, you know, 10 minutes up, 3-0. 10 minutes to go, 3-0 up, sorry. You'd have put your mortgage on Spurs winning that, but, you know, West Ham just threw caution at the wind and it ended up working out for them, and especially that Lanzini shot in the 95th minute. You know, it had an XG of 0.01, a literal 1 in 100 chance of going in, and it went in.
It reminds me against Arsenal, though.
It was very reminiscent of that. West Ham showed a lot of fight, which they didn't show last season. They were pretty toothless, to be honest with you. And this season, they've looked far better. I mean, getting wins against Wolves and Leicester, you know, you don't really expect that from West Ham, especially not last season West Ham. Getting a draw against Spurs. They've looked very good. I mean, they've got a tough couple of games with Man City and Liverpool up next. But after that, we've got Fulham and Sheffield United. So we could be seeing a rejuvenated West Ham.
Starting up, albeit.
It's, you know, what, you know, when you consider the amount of investment that's been put into West Ham, it is what they should be doing. And it looks like Haller as well is not in David Moyes' plans. He wasn't even named on the bench. So is that West Ham's record signing who's just been dumped? Yeah, that's just. He has been a flop. I mean, I think it's fair to say that about the Haller. He's just not suited the West Ham style, and especially with Antonio playing as well as he has done up front. He's just adapted to that role brilliantly. I think, yeah, Haller just isn't suited to this West Ham team. The signing of Benrahma, you know. He was a player last season who, he did play really well, but at times he lacked a bit of end product for Brentford. So it'd be interesting to see if David Moyes can get that out of him. I think Jared Bowen is an amazing winger. I think he's excellent. One of the best wingers outside of the top six. And a future England player. I genuinely believe that. Well, I don't know. At times he seemed to go missing during games, Benrahma. Well, he definitely has a lot of quality about him. He was just a bit inconsistent, I'll say. He's definitely a good signing for West Ham. Yeah.
A lot of upside.
Definitely, yeah.
Absolutely generous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%. Last season he was amazing for West Ham, and, he's definitely been a good signing for them. And, yeah, things are looking up for West Ham. They're playing a lot more positively, a lot more on the front foot. And, yeah, it seems like they're going to have a decent season. Yeah, I mean, it's not good for Spurs. Like, you'd think under Mourinho, you know, they would be solid, but they're just not. Like, you know, they're just so inconsistent, Spurs. You know, one minute they look like they could be, you know, potential title challengers, and the next they look like they're not good enough for European football. You know, never mind Champions League. So, yeah, they're always a bit dodgy. Yeah, go on.
Is this considered a derby?
I don't think so. I didn't hear anyone mention it. I mean, I know Villa, Wolves and West Brom, they're the three closest Midland clubs, so there's a lot more hatred there. Leicester's sort of sitting on the outskirts a bit. I believe, anyway, I might be chatting absolute shit. But yeah, another...
I think there's just top seven past last season.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a... it's mental, really. It looks nothing like the Aston Villa side of last season. Concert, especially, I think, has stepped up massively defensively, to the fact that Aston Villa have only conceded two in four games. Like, you know, could you imagine saying that about Aston Villa this time next season? You'd just assume they'd have been relegated and that would have been in the Championship. Yeah, they've improved loads. A team that lots of people tipped for relegation this season. And I think they've made some excellent signings. I said them at the time and I'll just reiterate them. You know, Matty Cash is an absolutely brilliant right back. Martinez in goal, you know, it's a very astute signing. Watkins up front, even though I do think he was probably slightly overpriced, has been excellent for them. And Ross Barkley on loan has been brilliant as well, you know, getting the 90th minute winner here. And Bertrand Traore as well is, you know, a good option and good wide man. So along with, you know, people who they already had, like Douglas Luiz, John McGinn, and of course the ever excellent Jack Grealish. They're looking excellent, Aston Villa. And I think a lot of people are hesitant because of the way they performed last season to talk about them in consideration for Europe. But they are definitely looking like they're serious this season.
As a why on...
Yeah, it just seems like... it never seemed like... He was always inconsistent at Chelsea. You could see that the quality was there, but... You know, I don't know. He was always hit and miss at Chelsea, Ross Barkley. So it looks like Dean Smith is going to get the best out of Ross Barkley in that sort of free role. Him, Mike Target and Jack Grealish alternate roles very frequently on that left-hand side. And, yeah, it's just, you know, giving Barkley the freedom along with Grealish has definitely... liberated him and made him perform a lot better. Yeah, I mean, he definitely looked very impressive at Everton. And, you know, like you say, he could be back to his best.
Far and away.
Yeah. Is he still at Chelsea, Drinkwater? I was about to say, I've not heard about him signing for any different clubs. Yeah. Yeah, he's just shite. What's that? Is he still there? Was he not been loaned out?
Oh, right.
Yeah, I mean, over 10 years he's been there. I don't think he's ever made an appearance for you. Oh, he's made one appearance. Right, the Chelsea Lone Army really coming in clutch there. What else do you want to add about this game? I mean, Leicester didn't exactly look like their best either. Yes, they've been very hit and miss this season. Like, you know, yes. They've put in a very, you know, quite frankly, excellent performance against Man City, putting five past them. You know, they put four past a pretty poor Burnley side. But then they lose against West Ham and Aston Villa and look pretty toothless. So they've been very hit and miss this season, Leicester. And it'll be interesting to see, as the campaign continues, whether the, you know, added stress of the Europa League, how much of a hindrance that is. Because obviously, you know, they'll want to do well in Europe. But with them fighting on lots of fronts, Leicester, will they be able to cope?
Rest.
Yeah. I think, you know, I don't know. I just feel like if you have the added stress of European football, even if you can rotate, it's always going to be a hindrance because you're not focused on one certain competition. You know, that's why Man City have never won the Champions League under Pep, in my opinion, because they're always trying to win everything. And I feel like that was a benefit of Wolves last season as well, was that, or will be a benefit of Wolves this season, sorry, and was a benefit of Leicester that last season, was that they didn't have Europe. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how, you know, if it affects Leicester badly. Yes, it was. And I thought, just before we get into this game, I want you to guess, Harry, how many pay-per-view buys do you think West Bromwich Albion versus Burnley received from Sky Sports? Ooh, lower.
Really? Because of that, the third left.
Lower.
No way.
Lower.
100.
Lower.
No way.
Higher. Higher.
Seven.
Higher. 75 pay-per-view buys.
No.
That's what's been reported. 75 pay-per-view buys. Obviously, Sky haven't come out and released the official number, because if it was 75 buys, that would be embarrassing. That is absolutely, you know, I'm so glad that it didn't receive many more than that. Yeah, that's embarrassing for Sky. You know, I'm glad that our fans decided to, you know, donate to food banks over giving 15 quid to watch West Brom versus Burnley. I mean, you know, I managed to find perfectly legal ways to watch the stream for free. But, you know, some other people might have found some unscrupulous.
They often, I imagine your area, you've gone out to a pub.
Well, Tier 3 Lancashire, isn't it?
Huh?
Tier 3.
Ah, right. Okay.
Yeah.
But,
you know, there's been plenty of opportunistic sites that you can watch the game at. I'd be surprised if those 75 people didn't ask for their money back anyway. The season's first 0-0. I think we looked a lot better. 100%. Yeah, I know. It's just me. We looked back to our best, though. On another day, we win this game 3-4-0. I think Dwight McNeil was absolutely immense. I think he made something like 17 crosses. I think that was the number I remember. So the fact that we didn't score is pretty embarrassing. I think, you know, Wood and Barnes, you know, definitely should have scored. I think we hit the post twice during that game. And on another day, I think we win that game. So there are definitely positives to take out from this game. However, it was a must win. You know, next up, we have Spurs and Chelsea. You know, so we could end up having 1 point from his first six games. That is not good. We had to win this game and we didn't. I feel like you've definitely got the advantage in that. I'm not confident. I wish we were doing the fucking podcast when we beat you 3-2. Because I would have fucking shoved it down your throat. It's not, you know, it's not great that we didn't manage to score. Eric Peters filled in at right back very competently for Phil Bardsley, who has coronavirus. Get well soon, Phil. But now Eric Peters is injured, so I'm not sure who we're going to play at right back against Heung-min Son. It's not looking good. As positive as I was about this game, I'm not as positive about the season as a whole. It's definitely going to be a slog. Yeah, well, the problem is that they had, you know, quick, you know, passes in behind for the players to run at your defence. You know, you're not exactly going to see Chris Wood, you know, making a 40-yard run. You know,
they also scored a header again. They're all very good.
Well, yeah, I guess so. I don't know. You know, it's looking grim, but there are signs of hope.
Wise. I'm glad they back
75 pay-per-view buy.
No, that's
15 quid, so it's just over a grand, I think. It's just over a grand.
Yeah.
And I think Burnley fans raised about like 20-25 grand for a local food bank by giving them 15 quid into the sky. So, you know, credit to everyone who donated. And yeah, as for West Brom, you know, I just feel like it looks okay. I think Callum Grant looked sharp. He had a goal which was rightfully ruled out. He was offside. And yeah, they look decent. And I like the fact that Bilic is willing to change things up. Made six changes for this game. Changed up the formation, went to a five in midfield. And yeah, he is willing to roll the dice, is Bilic. It was a dead game. You can come out and say that, Harry.
Saïs?
Do you mean Grant? What about Saïs?
Wait, what game are we
talking about? I thought you were... Have you moved on?
Oh, sorry. You talked about you're talking about Bilic and I had BL, sorry.
Ah, right. That's probably see how thick Harry is.
Sorry.
Yeah, he should be.
I remember Barnes had a head Johnson.
Yeah, he did. Both Barnes and Wood had two great chances. Wood had a free header about, you know, just outside the 6 yard box, which you'd have put your mortgage on him scoring. And he hit the bar. Yeah, I mean, apart from his front two, we played really well. We created a lot of chances, but we just couldn't finish them.
Why didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, Vidra's an interesting one. I mean, he's probably fourth on the pecking order behind Jay Wood and Barnes. He does offer something different. He does have a lot of pace in behind, which he can use to exploit defences that aren't as mobile. The problem with Vidra is it takes him three chances to score. And when you've not got, you know, the we don't have a creative side, that's an issue. We need players who can, you know, as soon as they get a good chance, can score. And Barnes and Wood didn't do that against West Brom. And, you know, they needed to. But Vidra is definitely another option. Jay is probably our best forward with the ball at his feet. Wood's obviously his best finisher. And Barnes is great at annoying defences. So we've definitely got four forwards who are, you know, they offer different things, which is good if you want to rotate. But it does look like Barnes and Wood are probably the starting pair, which, you know, I'm not sure I agree with personally. But yeah, just what else you want to add on this game?
Why didn't
you? Well, funny you should ask that. Club CEO Neil Hart has gave a statement to the fans. I can't remember the exact quote, but he was asked about the transfer window. And he said, the main priority of the window, essentially, wasn't to bring anyone in. No, it was to keep hold of players like Tarkowski and Pope. His exact words were somewhat along the lines of, you know, they're as good as new signings, keeping those players. And I think he also said, if you told a Burnley fan at the start of the window that this would be our transfer window, I think we'd have all taken. Which is fucking
bollocks. Some young I've got right
back. Yeah. It's not good. It's, you know. He did say in that statement that the club are looking for outside investment, so hopefully that means that the Americans are gonna pump the money in. And he did say that we will spend more in January and next season. But A, we can't leave it that late. You've already fucked it. And B, you said that about this season, and we did fuck all, so, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to spend 1 minute.
Exactly, yeah. Fucking joke, honestly. But, you know, at least in the Championship, you get good atmosphere. Else you want to add on this game?
You're going to get fans in during Corona.
What's that?
You get many fans in for as long as there's Corona.
Well, I think, to be honest with you, by next season, I think there'll be fans back in.
With masks, not an added cheer.
Well, I don't know. You know, I mean, when you're showing Premier League games in cinemas, like, you know.
That's
well, that's not to do with politics. That's just fucking stupid.
Yeah, but it's their fault for.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Now we got Leeds Wolves.
Now we can get to Leeds Wolves. You can talk about Bielsa all you want. You can talk about actually Hart's content.
Speaking of Bielsa, he doesn't do much coaching. Cameras on him. He's just sat on his ass. I do question what the hype about him is.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I don't know if you watched Take Me Home, the Leeds United special on Amazon Prime. He seems to be very similar to Pep Guardiola in that he sort of imprints his grand philosophy onto the club, and it's down to others to sort of implement that. You know, like Pep Guardiola had Mikel Arteta, like Adolf Hitler had Goering.
Oh my god!
Oh, that's probably not staying in. yeah, like Pep has with Arteta, or had with Arteta, he sort of just oversees his vision of the club, and other people implement that.
There wasn't much talk about. Meslier made a brilliant save to deny Daniel Podon before the. He was diving one way, just overshot it, was able to correct his save just after the half. Saïss puts it in the back of the net, but it's off.
Yeah, I do think that, you know, they do keep the ball well, to this Leeds side. They are a very positive, high-pressing team, and they move the ball well. But, you know, against the bigger teams like Wolves, they'll be able to withstand the pressure, even with, you know, some key injuries to players. They sort of struggled to break them down a little bit, Wolves. And obviously, you know, with the pace of Podence, Neto on the wings, creativity of Moutinho, you know, you've got Adama Traore coming off the bench. You know, they were able to exploit that. And, you know, it was just for the goal, it was, you know, just typical. You know, we saw it time and time again. Raul Jimenez goal, got 17 goals last season in 38 games, is a very good forward. And yeah, Wolves have, you know, they managed to pick up the 3 points despite arguably not being the better team.
Agreed. I thought when Pavedo came, sparked a bit of life heat after that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a fan of Pavada. He does seem to offer something different to Leeds. He's a bit more direct than what Leeds tend to have. Obviously, came through the Leeds Academy. Oh, no, that's just a lie. He didn't. he came from Man City this season. He's only a young kid. But he's been given the number 7 shirt, so obviously, you know, they have plans for him. And yeah, he's a very direct winger, is Pavada, and I think that suits this Leeds team well as a different option.
I like Rafinha. Well, wasn't he was really good at Rennes. Very
I think Leeds have performed well in the transfer. You know, they've brought in, they've improved in areas where they needed to improve. And they've made some really astute signings. And, you know, I'm wondering how long it's going to take for Harry to change his mind on Leeds about them. It's definitely going down. You can't see any way that they survive this.
Hey, I changed that after the first game. I still think West Brom and Fulham are going.
Well, you say I'm not sure you predicted that at the start of the season, but, you know.
Hang on.
I'll let that slide.
Hang on, I've got it here, I think.
Bringing up the old documents.
Oh, shit, I said Leeds, Aston Villa.
Yes. So, brilliant predictions there, Harry. I think pushing for Europe is too much. I think especially with, you know, you've got the big six, you've got Wolves, Leicester, and Everton and Villa looking good especially. I think, you know, they're not going to get anywhere near Europe, to be honest with you. But I think they are definitely going to look strong this season, Leeds. And, you know, the fact that they've got a big stadium, they are a big club, they've got Bielsa is a great manager. I feel like they could go far, definitely. And I don't think that they're going to go down anytime soon, Leeds.
Well, they've got Villa in about an hour.
Yeah, with Calvin Phillips out, I think they are going to struggle.
Yeah, anything to do with Calvin, as the fact with Villa just being that good.
Well, yeah, but I mean, Calvin Phillips is a key player for them. Yeah, I mean, he was definitely excellent for Leeds last season, sitting in front of that back four and spraying passes pretty much everywhere. And, you know, I'm sure you've seen him, you know, playing for England. He looks a far better holding midfielder than Declan Rice ever has in an England shirt.
I take Jonjo Shelvey. Yeah, Dyer.
I mean, you lot can have Declan Rice back if you want. You can have Declan Rice back, but we're still keeping Jack Green.
Oh, yeah, I forgot you.
Played a couple of friendlies as well. Kissed the Irish badge. You did.
Oh, okay. I mean, I'm Irish and English.
Yeah, to be fair. I don't know why I'm trying to shit out you, because you're English as well.
Wait, did you do that?
What's that?
Irish kiss? Irish badge? Or...
Probably.
I think Grealish is definitely under the spot. And...
Oh, yeah, 100%. He should be starting.
When is the next international break?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I think it's November time, because I know we're playing Ireland.
Yeah, there's a gap between the 7th, that's about it.
Yeah. Right, so, I mean, we can quickly go through some Champions League games. I can't say what I've got to go in about with 20 minutes. Oh, yeah, isn't it? I forgot about that. Yeah, I'll be watching that. We'll get into Champions League really quickly. Go and give your thoughts on Chelsea and Sevilla. We'll start off with your club.
I'm just happy we kept. I thought we were going to be very damn. Pretty happy we could have won, but could have lost.
Yeah, I think a point was probably the fair result. I mean, Sevilla kept the ball well. They were pretty dangerous going forward. But Chelsea, you know, they defended well, they held resolute. And they caused a few problems for Sevilla. I think, you know, Sevilla and Chelsea will probably both get out of this group. I think they should, especially with Rennes and Krasnodar being the other two teams. I mean, Krasnodar, you know, are probably the fourth seed in this group. And, you know, despite, you know, Rennes having
a win. I just don't like the fact we've got to travel to Russia and come back for a Premier League.
Yeah, I mean, it isn't exactly great, is it, Russia? It's not a great place to go to away. None of the Eastern Europe is really a good place to go, to be honest with you.
I suppose Lazio.
Yeah, that surprised me. I mean, Haaland, being the robot that he is, managed to get another goal. Lazio, you know, performing really well. Ciro Immobile leading the line. Still, you know, a leap forward.
Real Madrid falling at half-time despite Shakhtar having to 11 to their squad coronavirus.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, I completely forgot about that. I mean, it's just mad. Madrid were just awful in that first half. The second half, they definitely improved, but Shakhtar held firm, and the 90th minute goal was ruled out. That's funny.
So, some really important players were left out. Jozy and Colin Pienka, Ismaili, Juna Moraes, who's their top scorer, Tyson, and Stephanie.
What's his face as well? I don't know if you mentioned him. Oh, what's his name? That one who always goes on a free on Football Manager. Kovalenko, that's his name. Victor Kovalenko, midfielder. What's that?
I said him, yeah.
Oh, right, well, I'm still glazed for that then.
I mean, to be fair, Real Madrid were missing players of their own, like Hazard, Odegaard, Odriozola, Ramos.
But you'd expect, the biggest club in the world to be able to fill three or four holes.
They have a very good squad. They just lost.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, Jovic has gone way downhill from the play.
I just think especially like Halle, we've seen the transition from a two-man strike force to a one-man, lone striker. It's just not suited him. I feel like if you played Jovic with Benzema up front, in a front two, like a proper front two, rather than, trying to force Jovic out wide or, putting Benzema in a that deeper role or something, I think if they had him in a proper front two, I feel like he'd definitely do a lot better than he has done at Real Madrid.
Another shock result. I mean, in terms of the scoreline, probably Bayern.
It's just, complete dominance from the reigning European champions. We're used to seeing a very resolute Athletic Madrid defence, but Bayern Munich are just scarily good under Flick.
I mean, Liverpool, despite Van Dijk being ruled out for the season, they injured...
They did manage to sneak out a 1-0 win, Liverpool. The bastards, cost me a tenner. It was just a very resolute performance from Liverpool. I mean, they got the first half goal, and they defended really well. Adrian making a few decent saves. Fabinho as well, performing well at centre-half. I just think, they performed really well. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to touch on PSG and Man United as well. It's just like, PSG in Europe is always a laugh. It's just, that Man United team, I don't know what it is. Like, they always pull results out of the bag against PSG. Like, and they defended really well. Credit to Ole, because he changed it up. He went to five at the back in Europe, away from home, and he got a win. Credit to Ole for changing up his system to do that. Because if he changed it up and got it wrong, people would have slated him. But he changed it up, and they actually performed really well.
I thought he played a 4-2-3-1 with Teo.
I thought it was more of a sort of 5-3-2-ish with Bruno sitting a bit deeper, Shaw becoming a third centre half, and Martial and Rashford up top together.
Shocking.
I don't know what it is about Mbappe was absolutely... Well, the entire front three, really, was absolutely quiet.
As bad as they've had a pretty... They've played in seven.
They are second in the league. Particularly the loss to Len as well for PSG wasn't great. I mean, they are only 2 points behind Lille at the top of the table. Considering the amount of money that they spend every single season, they should be top comfort.
Yeah, but they do get a few good free signings like Florenzi and...
Mm. Was there a free Danilo Pereira?
Yeah, and Herrera.
So they do pick up free signings well, but they also spend the big bucks.
Didn't they loan in Moise?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, because he came on in the second half and did nothing. He was their Choupo Moting replacement.
I mean, he was the other one to go over or not?
Not really, to be honest with you. I will mention Kemar Roofe's goal for Rangers. It was beautiful, wasn't it?
Also, there's another player currently at AC Milan, another Nord Hauger. He's meant to be Haaland, next Haaland, but he's like the Asgard, and he scored against...
AC Milan, they should be doing a lot better, really, AC Milan. When you look at the team that they have, aren't they doing really well in Serie A? I've not been following Serie A, but, aren't they like top or near top?
They're top, yeah. They've got max.
When you consider, A, the size of AC Milan, and B, when you just look at that team, they should be, Champions League football.
I mean, Ibrahimovic has got 4 goals.
Even at, what is he, 39? Like, he's still a mental forward.
Yeah, and they just come off of wins, their Milan rival. 2-0. Mm. Yeah, so I mentioned Haaland before on the podcast, second player, so now I've mentioned Hauger.
You called your shot early with Haaland. When he scored what? He scored like 5.
9.
Like Kazakhstan under-19s or something, and you said he was going to be sick.
On door ass.
Yeah, so, fair play to you for shooting your shot. I'll hold my hands up. I wonder if this one is going to be as fruitious as your Haaland prediction. All else you want to go over? That's it then. We can wrap up here. Have you got anything to plug, Harry?
I'll plug my Twitter, at HazardChargeFC.
Yeah, I'll plug mine, at IWGPCrispyFC, and you can follow the podcast, at AntiFootballPod. I finally got that right. I don't know why, but it's taken me ages to, last couple of weeks I've really been battling it with those outros. Anyway, that's been it, and we'll see you lot next time. Villa Leeds is on in about, you know, an hour, so we're going to go watch that. And yeah, Leeds have won like 10-0.